Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Mishpatim. So the Chizkuni has a running theory through this Parsha that really Parshas Bahar came before Parshas Mishpatim. That's right, Bahar. Where it talks about the same, it talks about Shemitah, it talks about Eved Ivri, all the same things we're talking about in Mishpatim, we're talking about in Bahar. So the Chizkuni says that Bahar, Parshas Bahar, actually came before Mishpatim. The whole thing came before Matan Torah. I don't mean the whole Mishpatim came before Matan Torah, but the whole Bahar came before Matan Torah. That was given to them before Matan Torah to teach them about Shemitah, and as the Chizkuni writes at the end, it was to entice them, to get them kind of excited about getting the Torah, because through that they would Yarshin Eretz Yisrael. It was giving them the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, that they'd have Shemitah, all that to tell them that if they keep the Torah, there will be Zochet Eretz Yisrael. So that really all happened. So Parshas Bahar really happened before this week's Parsha. And when Rashi starts off with Ve'ele HaMishpatim, and Rashi says, Lama Nismecha Parshas Dinan, the Parshas Mizbeach, that's to tip you off, the Mishpatim doesn't belong here. And it's really just coming to add on to what was said in Parshas Bahar, because that really is what belongs here, Parshas Bahar. So that's what he says Rashi means. First Rashi, Ve'ele Mosef Al Rishonim, this comes to add on to the Rishonim. That means it's adding on to Parshas Bahar. So this, as you will see, explains a couple of things. Okay, so we start talking about Eved Ivri. Why? Because they had just left Mitzrayim, and so being an Eved is on everyone's mind, so they left Mitzrayim, and they left being Avadim, so we start off talking about an Eved Ivri, that you can't keep him forever, you let him go after 6 years. Why 6 years? So the Chizkuni suggests it's because it's connected the seven Malchus, the seven kingdoms that came up against the Yidden. I think many of us are familiar with the four Goliuses, which are Bavel, Babylon, Paras, and Madai. Right, that's the Purim story, Yavon, and Edom. So there was also Mitzrayim, obviously, and Ashur. So that's the six, those six nations that came against the Yidden: Mitzrayim, Ashur, Bavel, Paras, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. Paras, Madai is one. So that's the 6 years, one for each year, and then the seventh, they go free, because the seventh, there's not going to be a seventh that comes against us. Okay, then it says, after 7 years, the Eved Ivri goes free, and his wife goes with him. Rashi comments here, who brought the woman in? You see from here, and Rashi says, Shakona Eved Ivri chayev b'mizonos ishto bano. You see from here, he's quoting the Gemara in Kedushin, that someone who acquires an Eved Ivri, he has to give food to the Eved Ivri's wife and children. So the Chizkuni asks a pretty simple question. I understand how you see from here that he has to have to give food for the wife, because it says v'yatza ishto imo. So the wife goes out, meaning she was in beforehand. The owner of the slave used to have to support the wife of this Eved Ivri. Who said anything about the kids? Where do we see anything about Banav? All we see is v'yatza ishto imo. Who said anything about Banav? This goes with the same theory. This was really an addition to Bahar. Same, it's going to easily answer a bunch of questions. In Bahar, it says Banav. It's in Perek Chafei Pasuk Mem Aleph. In Vayikra, of course, it says V'yatzer Mi'imach Hu Uvanav Imo. So, because that's really the Iker place, and that's what came first. So, you find it out in Bahar that the sons also go out. That means the Rav had to support the sons as well. So then we say also that if the Eved Ivri came into the marriage married, then the owner is allowed to give him another wife, a Shifcha Kananis, and which is not really going to be his. It's given to him to have children with her so the owner can have more Avadim. Why was this allowed? So the Chizkuni explains, because why would anyone ever remember this? Some of the people who sell themselves as an Eved Ivri, it's because they're very poor. They're dirt poor and they can't afford it. So they sell themselves as an Eved Ivri, and that supports the person and their family. So, but why would anyone agree to marry, to buy an Eved Ivri for the 6 years when you can get a single Eved Ivri and then you don't have to support the family? Why in the world would you want to buy an Eved Ivri when it comes with all that baggage? He's got to support the whole family. So the Torah gave this deal that you can, if the guy has a family, and if and only if he has a family, right, that's the halacha, if and only if he has a family, then the owner can make him marry this shifcha and have kids with her, so that this way the owner gets something out of it. He gets money by, now he has another slave. That's how he explains it. However, and conversely, which is interesting, if he doesn't have a wife, he's not even allowed to give him a wife, because we're afraid, we don't want actually the Evet to stay there forever. And if he hasn't been married and he's given a Shivcha Kananis when he becomes a slave, we're afraid he's going to become attached to her and decide he doesn't want to leave the owner's home. So he has to be married to qualify to have this Shivcha Kananis. But the reason we allow the Shivcha Kananis is to allow someone who wants to buy, you know, who's a never divvy, to be able to sell himself to someone who'd be willing to support his family. Okay, then we find out that if someone does want to stay, they have to have their ear pierced in the door. And why is it his ear get pierced? So Rashi quotes a Chazal, Ozen Shashama Bahar Sinai, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim Lo Avadim Lo Avadim. This guy, he doesn't have money, but he heard in Har Sinai, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim, and he didn't, and he wants to go stay as an Evet, so you should pierce his ear. Again, this is the Chizkuni says another ayah that Bahar came first, because that pasuk of Ozen of that pasuk that he says the ear that heard at Har Sinai, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim. Where's that pasuk? Guess where? Bahar. Bahar's all the way later. So you see, Bahar really wasn't all the way later. He must have heard it beforehand. So that's why his ear gets pierced, because he heard that. And he still wants to become an Evet. The other thing it says is Ozen Shashama al Har Sinai Lo Signov. Ear that heard Lo Signov, because some people get sold by Beis Din as an Evet Ivri because they can't pay up what they, because they stole and they can't pay up. So it says the ear that heard Lo Signov. Now, the Lo Signov at Har Sinai of the Aseres Adibros, the Chizkuni says, is not stealing in like money, it's stealing people, kidnapping. So he says that's the Girsa in Rashi should be Lo Signovu, which refers to stealing money. And Lo Signov is not the correct Girsa. Okay, then so we nail his ear into the wall, into the door rather. Why do we do that? He says a very fascinating thing. In case this Evet changes his mind shortly thereafter and escapes, you can match him up with the door. Isn't that interesting? He says you can, if you catch this Evet Ivri who escapes after whatever, let's say 20 years, he escapes, you can check that it's the same guy because you stand the door up to the guy, and if the ear height matches the hole in the door's height, then you know it's him. It's a very interesting thing. And the Ba Marzeya, the Gematria of Marzeya, is 400. And that's a remez that this guy, Hashem, they said the Jews would be slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and this guy wants to keep it going. So that's a hint with the Marzeya peg that they use. It's called a Marzeya. It's a remez to have 400 years. Okay, then we have the discussion about the Jewess, the Ama HaEvriya, who gets sold. So she goes out with Simanim. Now, there is a hekesh between the Evet Ivri and the Ama HaEvriya, and a hekesh to say that they have the same din. So just like an Evet Ivri goes out with six and Yovel, so too an Ama HaEvriya. Chizkuni just asks that, you know, we don't, there's no such thing as a Hekesh Lemechtza. You can't have a Hekesh only connect some of the halachas. If you do learn a Hekesh, it has to apply fully. So a woman goes out with Simanim. Once she has Simanim, she shows she's an adult, she goes out. So why don't we say an Evet Ivri should go out with Simanim? So it's almost like a Klotzkashi, he says, obviously, because it doesn't apply. By a katan cannot sell himself. A girl who is a katana can be sold by her father to be an avnei evriya, and then when she becomes a gadola, she goes free. A katan can't be sold, and he can't sell himself either, so the whole thing's not okay. Okay, anyway, it says v'hifta. When this avnei evriya wants to go out, so it says, like Rashi brings, the adon has to be misayeya bipidyona. The master has to help her redeem herself. How? And Rashi says something that sounds a little unusual. If, just to make simple math, if she sold herself for, let's say it was going to be 6 years, that she would be an Evet, and she worked for two, right? I think this is right. This is Rashi says. So the Adon says, okay, I'll take four to let you go. Okay. So that way the Adon helps Bipidyona because he accepted the 2 years of work as payment. He prorated it. It's just hard to understand. How is the master helping? He has to be misayeya bipidyona. That's what we're learning. He has to help her get out. How's that helping her? That's just fair. She worked for 2 years, so you should prorate it. That's not like a chesed. That's makes sense. Yes, you hired her for 6 years. It was $6. That should work out to $1 a year. So she worked for 2 years, so she should only need $4. to become free. Why is that called Misayeya Bipidyono? So he answers that this is a katana. So let's imagine herself, 6 years. So 12 minus 6 is 6. She sold herself when she's 6 years old, right? She's got 6 years old, till 6 more years till she turns 12. What kind of level work does a 6-year-old do? What kind of level work does a 12-year-old do? Much, much better, right? So you could say that the work you did for me from 6 to 8 was not a third of the work. That was nothing. The main work comes towards the end as you get older. So really, I should not, you should owe me more, because the main thing I was paying for was for the latter years, not the former years, not the few years that you worked. So the Adon can have a taina, I shouldn't have to accept this evenly prorated. So in that way, he's being Misayeya Bit Pidyona. He's helping her free herself. Okay, then he's supposed to, he has the option of Yud, he has the option of marrying her, marrying this Ama Ivriya, the Adon does if he wants. And if he does, Sheirak Susaba Nasala Yigra. If he marries her, he has to give her a sheir, ksus, and ona. So what's ona? So ona usually means tashmish, but the Chizkuni here has an interesting shot. He says ona comes from the word ma'on, which is a house, a place to live. He has to give her a place to live. That's interesting. Okay, and then we have, on another topic, the ma'ke aviv imo mos yumas. Interesting setup of psukim. It says someone who hits their parents, they will die, causes a wound, they will die. Then we have gonivish and macharo, someone who kidnaps, he will die, and then Mekal of Imo, he will die. Someone who curses their parents will die. Now, Rashi brings that the punishment for someone who hits their parents is Misa of Chenek, which is the lightest of all the punishments, all the deaths, I should say. And the Mekal of someone who curses their parents, that person's punishment is Skila, which is the worst of all the Misos. So why would someone who hits their parents get a lighter punishment than someone who just curses them and doesn't touch them at all? So Chizkuni answers, because really, as we said last week, the mitzvah of honoring your parents is really an outgrowth of the mitzvah of honoring Hashem. It's really kavod hamakom. Hukash kavodim lekavod hamakom. They're connected. The kavod of the parents is really an outgrowth of the kavod of Hashem. Just as a similar idea, he does not say this. This is me saying this. Just as a similar idea, there's an inyan to honor the oldest boy. The oldest son, kaved es avicha, l'rabba sechicha agadol. There's an inyan for the siblings to honor the oldest sibling, because that's an outgrowth of the honor of the parents, because you honor the oldest brother as a way of honoring the parents. Similarly, in a sense, when you honor your parents, like an outgrowth of the honor of Hashem, that's what it's supposed to be. So when you hit your parents, there's less connection to Hashem, because you can't hit Hashem. Mekalel, that is could be to Hashem. Chas v'shalom, a person could, chalila, curse the Ribbono Shel Olam, so there is a closer connection there. That's why it has the worst punishment. And the fact, this is interesting, the fact that it in between someone who hits their father or mother and someone who curses them is the gonev nefashos. So the Chizkuni, what's it doing in between? Obviously, it doesn't seem to belong. Chizkuni explains, because someone who is kidnapped, especially as a child, will not know who their parents are. And he says, through Meriva, they could come to hitting them. I did forget to mention one point about the Psukim before, about someone who kills by accident. So Rashi brings the famous Gemara that says, if someone kills Beshogig and someone kills Bemezid, Hashem puts them in, and there's no Edim, Hashem sets them up, the one's walking up the ladder and falls down on the other. So the person who, and there's Edim, so the person who killed Beshogig, now there's Edim that he killed Beshogig because he just killed this guy on the bottom, and the guy on the bottom got killed, he's someone who killed someone else, and there were no Edim. Okay, so the Chizkuni just points out that the person who killed someone else, the murderer who murdered someone on purpose, they're Chayiv Saif, means to be killed by the sword. The story sounds like he was killed by someone falling on his head. And he actually says, it must be talking about this guy who was falling down the ladder had a knife in his hand or something, where the guy in the bottom was stabbed as he falls down. Because otherwise it doesn't fit exactly, which is just an interesting point. Okay, getting back in order. We then have the two men fighting, and they hit a pregnant woman, and she loses her child. So then the person who hits the woman who miscarries, so he's not Chayiv Misa, no matter what, just for killing the kids in the womb. Why not? Why aren't you Chayiv for killing the babies in the womb? This is relevant, obviously, to the abortion topics. So the Chizkuni says, because, well, let's say what it's not. One answer you could give is because maybe the child will be an aphil, right? Maybe the child, maybe the those babies never would have survived. So then you can't kill the guy because maybe he killed someone that would never be alive. The kid would be an aphil, die with, you know, either in childbirth or within 30 days. And then the person was never considered alive. And that's why you can't kill someone for killing a Uber. The Chizkuni rejects that because the Gemara in Chulin says that we can go with Rove. In other words, when you kill anybody, how do you know? Maybe they were a trefa, maybe they were going to die within a year. How do you know? So we go with Rove. We don't assume that. So here too, Rove people do not miscarry. Rather, it's because it's not the same. Meaning, it's period, not the same. A child, until it is born, is not the same as a living person, as the Gemara says. As one, you know, if you have to save the mother, you can kill the Uber to save the mother, but once the child comes out, then that's it. Then they're equal. So, you see that they're not the same until it's born. That's not the same. Not to say that you're allowed to go ahead and do it. Obviously not. But it's not the same as murder of a regular person, and the person, and therefore someone who does it is not chayav misa. I mentioned abortion just to, you know, say it's relevant to that topic. Nothing has anything to do with what you should do about abortions, obviously. Okay, moving right along. When an animal kills someone, so if it's a muad, it pays kofar. A person has to pay kofar. If his animal ends up killing someone, he pays kofar. So the Chizkuni says, if the Yorshim allow, which is an interesting thing to say, isn't it? If they allow, that's, remember the Pasuk says, im kofar yushas alav. So, the, you know, the way we understand that doesn't mean it's optional. It's you must. So the Chizkuni explains, the im kofar yushas alav, if you will pay kofar, because many of the Yorshim will not accept kofar. The people don't want to take money to be paid off for the death of their relative. So that's how he explains the im kofar, if you will pay kofar, meaning if the Yorshim want to take it. Okay, again, this is talking about your ox scoring. Then we have, if an ox scores a ben or bas, the pasuk spells out ben bas ish isha. Why does it, we don't normally do that. Why is it when we're talking about a cow goring, or a bull, whatever, some animal goring, people has to spell out ben bas ish isha? So he says, because you might say, you know, watch your kids. Maybe I don't have to pay. Yes, my cow gored them, but maybe you shouldn't have had your kids near my cow. Or if they are in the person's rish, you know, private rishos, then he'd be right. But unless, you know, even if walking in the rishos harabim in a public area, maybe the owner of the cow should say, "Well, I should pay. You should watch your kids." Or this woman, she shouldn't be out of the house so much. Like, anyway, we don't say that. You have to pay kofar, and you're fully responsible. Or yeah. Then we have the din that if the shor kills an eved kanani, you pay 30 flat, no matter what the eved is worth. Now that is an interesting point. Why? Why 30? So he says that happens to be the erech of a woman. You know, in the parsha of Erechin, it's from age 20 to age 60, is 30 shkalim. So it's the same amount because an eved and an isha are considered the same for much of halacha. So that's the 30 shkalim. And also he says, interestingly, that an eved hangs around animals a lot. That's who you put in charge of your animals. He's most likely to get gored. And therefore, since people would argue, oh, he's worth this amount, no, he's worth that amount, the Torah just gave a flat fee. But by regular people, a non-eved, so it's a milsa do shchicha, it's very rare, so the Torah didn't feel it needed to give you a flat fee. Okay, now the first time a shor gores another shor, ox gores another ox, that's called a tam, and it pays chatzi nezik, you pay half. Why half? So the Chizkuni explains, because it's really... I shouldn't have been expected to watch my shor that much because it never was like this. And it's a really combination of both of our mazel. Your shor who got gored must have bad mazel, or you had bad mazel, you lost the money. I had bad mazel because I shouldn't have expected it. So that's the idea of splitting it. Okay, then we have if somebody steals and shechts or sells bucker and sown, so you pay... if you steal in general, you pay kefil, double. And if you steal bucker and sown and sell it, so then you pay four times for tzon and five times for bucker. So why do you pay more for sheep than you do for cows? I'm sorry, why do you pay more for cows than you do for sheep? So the Chizkuni gives a bunch of the answers that you've all heard. I'm going to say the one that you probably haven't heard. And that is because you have to, he says you have to be a better ganav to steal a cow than you do a sheep. A sheep's easy. Anybody can just run off with a sheep. Stealing a cow, that requires more expertise in Geneva. So you're probably a ganav type of person. So we want to give you a higher fine. Interesting idea. Okay, then we have that if you cause damage and you have to pay, and you want to pay with land, it's Meitav Sadeu. Why, your best land you have to give as payment for damage. Why do I have to give my best land? So he gives a bunch of answers. Some of them that you may not have heard is because of, number one is a deterrent. You know, we want people to be careful with their property, so we make it Meitav. Also, Adam Rotsa Bekav Shalom, a person doesn't want your land. They want their thing back, which they can't have. So because they'd rather their stuff back, so you at least have to give your best stuff. After Geneva, we talk about Pitoy, which is seducing this woman, child. And then we talk about the Mechashefa, the witch, that she is killed. So why do these three go in that order? So he says Geneva is stealing of money. Pitoy is Geneva's Halev, he's stealing the heart. And someone who has a taiva for that, for pitui, for trying to seduce a woman, so there you would, we talk about love potions, they're the types to want to get involved in witchcraft and try to get it done. Anyway, so since someone who's interested in taiva usually will often try to do it via witchcraft, or at least in those days. Anyway, so that's why it kishuv comes next. Then we have this interesting halacha that if somebody... that it says, Kol almana lo sa'anun. You're not allowed to cause a pain to a almana. But it says, lo sa'anun, plural. It doesn't say, Kol almana lo sa'anun, or whatever. It says, lo sa'anun. Why does it say, Kol almana, plural? You shall not, plural, cause pain to a widow. Say, the Chizkuni says something interesting, because it's not just the person who causes her, who's doing bad to her. Anybody nearby who hears it and doesn't stand up for her, they're also a sinner. That's part of the lo sa'anun. It means it comes to include the people watching saying nothing. They're also a sinner. That's a big idea. To be super careful around an amana and a yasom, to not cause them pain, and if someone is causing them pain, to stand up and stop that person. Okay, then it discusses if there is a an animal that is killed. So you have now a carcass, a trefa, you're supposed to throw it to the dog. So this is in Pasuk, Perichav Beis Pasuk Lamed, a baser basad a trefa lo sochelu. So you're not allowed, either la kelev tashlichan oso. So it doesn't say likelev, it says la kelev. So the Chizkuni says that sounds like the known dog. Which is the known dog? The dog. Who is the dog? The dog is the one that was guarding the sheep. In other words, the one that failed. So some predator came in, the dog that was supposed to protect everybody didn't do his job, apparently. And that's the one you throw the trefa to, which is, he doesn't speak this out, but that's also tells you a big message. You know, the dog that failed, you still have to help out the dog. So you throw the trefa to the dog. At the end of the parasha, towards the end, we have Hashem saying he's going to send a malach. And if you sin... Hishamer Mipanov is in Parakhav Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Hishamer Mipanov, be careful with him. Listen to what he says. Ki lo yisal lefishachem. He will not carry your sins. Ki shmi bekirbo. Because my name is in his midst. So the Chizkuni says something very interesting to keep in mind for the whole learning of Chumash. And he says it. He said it before in other places. Ki shmi bekirbo. How would you understand that? Ki lo yisal lefishachem. This malach that I send to... that I send for you, he will not carry your sins because my name is inside of him. That's why he won't carry your sins. You would think that should be a reason he should carry your sins. What do you mean? Well, maybe you would think that. What does it mean? Anyway, he says, Kishmi Bikirbi means even though. It's not ki, it's afki. Even though my name is in his midst, still, he will not carry your sins. In other words, Malach, you could see, not being able to cope with sin, but if my name is in him, why shouldn't Hashem carry his averos, our averos? So it means, even though my name is Bekirbo, still this malach will not be able to carry your sins. And I just want to end off with this last thing, this fascinating medrash that the Chizkuni brings. So at the end we have that the Vayishlach Hasnari B'nei Yisrael Vayalu Olos, and right, the Nari B'nei Yisrael went up, and it says, Vayiru Es Elokei Yisrael V'sachas Raglov, they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet, Kemaase Livnas HaSapir, they saw the Livnas HaSapir. So what is the Livnas HaSapir? Listen to this medrash. All we see from, you know, Rashi just brings that it was something to remind Hashem of the Tzara of their Sheban in Mitzrayim. Because the Levena, the brick, right? The brick that they were working in Mitzrayim. So the Chizkuni brings this medrash that says, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, that when Moshe came and made life, and Paro made life doubly hard for them, they had to make the same amount of bricks with no straw. So the Jews were being beaten. Plus, they had to deal with the straw, which was around thorns, and they were cut all over. And there was this woman who was pregnant. It says, Rachel Bas Beno Shel Mesushelach. And she was pregnant. And you know what you do with a woman who's pregnant, right? You would think they need bed rest. She's working in the brick pits. So whatever it is, she's working hard to help make the cement. And it seems she went into premature labor. And her child came out. It seems it died. It got mixed up with the brick and kind of, I guess, got made into a brick or whatever, got mixed with the brick stuff. And it says, and she cried out to Hashem. And it says that the angel Michal came down and brought up this brick to Hashem. And Hashem put it under his feet. As it says, Vesachas raglav kemaase livnas hasapir. What's the livnas hasapir? The livnas hashapir, which is a baby in the womb, is in the shapir, I forgot what it's called right now. We'll just call it the embryonic sac. Whatever, that's the shapir. So that's what's under Hashem's kise, the livnas hasapir, which is the livnas hashapir. So Hashem always is thinking about us in times of tzar, which we are unfortunately in right now, and we all have to know that Hashem is thinking of us, and it's right under his legs, all that tzar Klal Yisrael is going through. And he's with us in our Torah, which we should be saved from. B'mehirah B'yameinu.